2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Israel is in captivity. God is giving his reasons. Some of what Israel did, he did secretly. Notice that with the mention here that it was not secret. How sad it is to see the delusions that they were under, that they could keep anything secret from God. Not true that we are often under the same delusion? Isn't it often true we think God can't see us, or at least we live as if we think that? We need to understand that God sees. And for many of us, stopping those things that we do secretly is because of a motivation of fear. We need to fear because God sees the secret things. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, we find that what Adam and Eve did in the garden, God saw. They may have been deluded that God did not see what they did. Maybe they didn't care, but maybe they did. They thought that God didn't notice. Genesis 3, verses 6 and following. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. What happened in the garden, God was there to see it. They couldn't do anything that God could not see. And so, because of their sin, they were punished. They were cast out of the garden and had to work hard at bringing food from the ground. He saw Abel buried in the ground. Genesis 4, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 4, verses 8 through 10. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What Cain had done, he was not able to keep from God. God knew what he had done. There are many lessons to take from these Old Testament stories, these Old Testament historical events. But one of those is that God sees. God notices when man sins. And we need to fear because he does. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verses 1 through 11. David has been king for some time, and pride gets to him, and he takes a woman to be with him that he should not have. And he lies with this woman, even goes so far as to have her husband killed so that he could take her as wife, because she had conceived a child. 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 7, records a very courageous man by the name of Nathan. coming before this Middle Eastern king and telling him that he was in sin. Can you imagine someone going before a king who believed that life and death belonged to him? That's what kings of that era believed, that they could simply speak and someone could die. And so Nathan goes before David, tells him, God saw what you did. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. You see, David was under the impression that he had gotten away with it, as we say, scot-free. That he had done it, and no one was going to challenge him. But he forgot one little fact. That fact was that God knew. And God had a prophet to speak to him. And the prophet confronts him, and I'm sure he's as disappointed in a man as anyone could be. And says, thou art the man. God sees. And as we open the pages of the Scripture, when we turn to places that tell us what sin is and how that it is evil and wicked, Nathan turns to us as it applies and says, thou art the man. The Bible shows us where we are wrong, where we are in error. Sometimes it gets the two right, doesn't it? It's because God knows. God knows who we are. God knows what we've done. God knows what we need. So there are no secret things. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Hundreds of miles away, Ezekiel receives a vision. He's away from Jerusalem. He's been taken into captivity. But God shows them a vision of what's been going on back in the hometown, back in Jerusalem. What kind of apostasy the elders of that city are into. How they had taken something pure and holy and able to redeem the sins of men. They've made it ugly. They've made it false. They've made it ineffective any longer because of the things that they did and that they believed. That no one could see the things that they did. Ezekiel 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, the sixth month, and in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. The Lord seeth us not. Isn't that kind of ironic? Because of the vision that's being received hundreds of miles away, over in the Assyrian Empire, there is Ezekiel speaking to the elders of Judah that had been taken into captivity. This is what's happening back in Jerusalem. God sees. God doesn't skip taking notice. He knows what they were doing, and He knows what we do in the still of the night. He saw the abomination in the temple. He even saw the dreams in a king's head. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 28. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 28. I'm not going to read all this, but suffice it to say that King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw some things in the still of the night as he was dreaming, and he wanted to know what these things meant. In Daniel chapter 2, we read about Daniel seeking out help among his wise men. His wise men could not help him. He wanted something that no one else had asked for. Tell me the vision that I saw, and I will believe your interpretation. I said, we can't do that. And he was ready to kill them all. But Daniel stood up and said, there is a God in heaven. A God in heaven that can tell you what you want to know. He sought some time to go and seek out the Lord's will. And he was granted that time. And he came back and said, this is what you've seen. And so, Nebuchadnezzar came and said, now I know that there's a Lord in heaven. I know that there is a God, one that reigns in the kingdoms of men. He knows even what's in the king's head. He knew the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and following. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and following. We often bemoan the fact in our day that there are problems in the church, that there are those that are hypocrites in the church. But it's nothing new. It goes back to the very beginning. Ananias and Sapphira were looking at Barnabas and seeing the praise, I suppose, that Barnabas received for giving of his means. People thought highly of him. He had taken his land and he had sold it and laid the money down at the apostles' feet so that the people could study a little longer under the tutelage of the apostles. And they saw the honor that was placed upon him, the high opinion everybody had. And so they said, well, we'll do the same thing. This is all the money that we've gained from selling this property. And they had kept back some. Now, while it was theirs, they had the right to keep what they wanted. It was not required of them to give it all, but they lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. But God knows the secret things. God knew what was in their hearts. Notice, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold the possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. The foolishness of it all. Why lie unto God as if God didn't know what was in his mind in the first place? God knew. But he lied to God. And God, as we can tell, didn't appreciate it. Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all of them that heard those things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. The same thing happened to Sapphira. There was great fear that came upon all those that heard these things. And that's the idea. We need to understand that the things that we do that we think nobody knows about, God knows. And he is quite willing, quite able, and quite capable of taking care of things himself, of making things right. So if we're caught up in doing things that we know we shouldn't, we think that we're going to get by one on God, that's not going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. You can't see that from the Bible accounts. It's not going to work that way. The wicked fool themselves because the secret things belong to God. Notice Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Preachers often quote this passage when you ask them things that they either don't know or the Bible doesn't talk about. The secret things belong to God, but we need to understand that there is a realm of secret things. And if they're secret to us, they're not secret to God. That God is privy to that information, and he notices it. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. No matter how far we've buried them into our past, no matter how far we've placed it under our personalities, where we've compartmentalized things to where no one can tell, even if our facial features change, and we can fool everybody here, God is not fooled. The secret things belong to God. The evil man thinks that God will not see his deed. Psalm 10, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 10, verses 8 through 11. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village, and the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into the net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. There are things that the Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And we may apply that to this as well. The fool hath said in his heart, God doesn't see. It's a foolish thing to think that we can hide anything from God. Evil cannot be hidden. The evil man thinks that God will not see his deeds, but God sees. God sees our sins. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. What is secret? It's open book to God. He sees the things that we have done. Evil cannot be hidden. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23. Jeremiah 23. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Evil cannot be hidden. God sees. Jeremiah writes in a time of deep apostasy. The people are about to be taken into captivity, and Jeremiah wants them to know why God hasn't favored them, why he's not protecting them. It's because of their sins, but not because of God's inability. That God sees the things that they have done. It's time to repent. We know we can't get away with sinning before God. I know I'm not talking to everyone here, but God knows what you stole. He knows about the drinking. He knows about the lying. He knows about the fornication. He knows about those lustful thoughts. He knows about that grudge that you hold. He knows the things that would shock your closest friend. Notice what God is going to bring up at the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The wisdom of Solomon, 1,000 years before Christ, speaks to us down through the ages. And let's hear him as he says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every, what kind of thing? With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He knows what we've done. Evil cannot be hidden. The second part of it is this. There are those that fear that some of the good things that we've done that God will not remember come judgment day. Or perhaps that you were baptized for the remission of your sins. Or perhaps those good things that no one else saw, that God will lose track of the things that you've done. And that there will be no accounting of it in the day of judgment. But we need to rejoice. For God sees the secret things. God will reward openly those good things done in secret. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Once again, in that great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us truths to live by. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Rejoice. God sees the secret things. Those things that you've done, perhaps to please him, perhaps to serve your neighbor, perhaps simply to serve Jesus. That which is hidden will be made known. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following. God is going to see the things that we do to serve him. And he's going to reward us for it. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And behold, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Those little things we think no one else saw. Those things that we didn't seek to get credit for. We didn't need credit because God sees the secret things. We just didn't need it because God knows. That's what's important. Do you know that there is a record kept in heaven? Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that is sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Rejoice. God knows the secret things. There are two classes of people that are going to be standing, I'm sure, around us at the day of judgment. When Jesus comes over the horizon, there will be a class of people that are in stark terror because those things they think everyone else has forgotten about. They will suddenly remember that God knows what they've done. What are they going to do? What are they going to tell God when they're standing before Him? Those are the people that are wishing that the rocks would fall upon them, that they were hidden in the caves of the earth. But there's another class of people that will say, Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We're ready. They will rejoice. Which class are you? That's a decision to be made by each of us. What do you see when you look at your life? Where are the secret things that you have done? Where are your good works? How do you stand with those things that are evil in your life? Are those things covered with the blood? If not, time to fear. But if they are, God will overlook those things just as He looked over at the Passover. Remember that ancient event where God passed over the children of Israel and did not take their firstborn? God passed over because of the blood. And He will do it now if the blood has been applied. We will be saved by the blood. And the blood is applied in the waters of baptism. The blood is applied for those that have already been baptized by simply asking God for forgiveness. He applies it in His mind. In the mind of God, that's where faith works. There may be someone here tonight that desperately needs, the cleansing blood of Christ. To be baptized for the remission of your sins. Don't let the hour pass without making that right. There may be someone here that has fallen from the good way and your secret things are condemning you right now. They need to be covered by the blood. Private things need to be asked. You need to ask God for forgiveness. Right there in your seat, don't leave this place without being any condition but clean. Ask Him. He will forgive you if you repent of those things. But if it's a public matter, you need to make it known publicly so that we can pray with you for your restoration. so that we can remove that evil influence that you may have had over other people. These things need to be taken care of. If we can assist you in your obedience this evening, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?